Last week, we talked about building up the body. And I'd like to spend the second week just talking a little bit about how that might happen. Last week I said, maybe a controversial statement for you, was the primary purpose of our gathering was for building up the body. And I say this because, not because I dislike singing at all. I actually rather enjoy the worship part of it. But I'm thinking of, if we frame our entire service as a worship service, well, we can worship God individually by ourselves. I mean, we can come in here and not actually engage with other people if we think of it just as a worship service. That's kind of my heart behind it. Not that that worship isn't a part of our service, but when we frame it, all of it, as a worship service, it leaves us thinking that we're here to worship God, and it can be done in an individual sort of way where we don't need to engage with other people. But I think if we look at the earliest picture of the church, it was everybody involved, everybody relating, everybody gathering together, investing and encouraging and building one another up. That was the primary reason why they gathered. They couldn't do that apart from one another. I hope that clarifies a little bit of my heart behind that. We looked at 1 Corinthians 14 and saw how it was repeatedly this word for building up was used. 7 different times in this one chapter, God tells us that the reason we come together is to build one another up. And we talked a little bit about how that could happen, but I want to flesh out a little bit more today. If that's the purpose, well, then how does that actually occur when we gather? What are the means by which we are actually built up when we come together? I was reading in our readings this past week, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and I'm going to read that to begin because I think that gives us a pretty good picture of what it might look like to build up the body in the midst of a gathering like this. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 20. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You know what the most common activity describing the New Testament church was? The most common activity was not a sermon. The most common speaking, type of speaking between the church was not a sermon or even singing. The most common type of speaking was exhortation. 109 times we see this word to encourage, to exhort, to build one another up with our words and prayers. This is the most common form of activity described that took place in the church. And we see it right here in the middle of this. Well, this is really the end of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He says, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. Be patient with them all. 109 times we see this word, encourage, exhort one another. This was the most common way of speaking. That was pretty surprising to me, honestly. I mean, you kind of know of all the one another's in Scripture, like 52, somewhere around 52 different one another's. But to think of the most common activity in the New Testament church was this speaking encouragement, speaking life, participating in life with one another as the most common activity was a bit surprising to me. Because I grew up in church where you could come and go and actually not experience much of that at all. And maybe that was my own personal experience because of my personality or upbringing or whatever. But I imagine you might have a similar experience where you can come and go and actually not feel much encouragement, not feel much like locking arms with one another in this fight that we are engaged in, this battle that we are engaged in. This word, encourage or exhort, is the word parakaleo. It means a close personal urging. It means to come alongside someone, literally to come next to them and to encourage, exhort, warn, caution, plead with them about something. It could be a warning. It might be we see rebuke in the New Testament. We see reprove. We see correct. We see train. It could be any sorts of thing, of type of encouragement. But this is the picture of someone coming alongside and speaking in such a way that it imparts courage into somebody else's journey, imparts faith into somebody else's journey with Jesus. It's a giving of yourself to another in a specific and intentional way to build them up. It is an active participating in their life. And I see it happen in different ways among us. And it's beautiful to see when it does happen. And I just want to encourage it to happen all the more. Like, don't come without asking the Spirit, hey, who could I encourage today? Who could I just, hey, here, how's your week been? How can I pray for you this week? That's the parakaleo, the word of exhortation. It's the fruit of intentional relational investment into one another. We'll talk a little bit more later about how this becomes something that can build one another up, because we can speak into someone's life in a way that's not received also. We can speak in a way that we're actually like not building one another up. But there is a way God designed that we can do this that actually builds one another up. What is the message of this exhortation? Well, there could be many messages in this exhortation, but the primary underlying basis is that we are calling and encouraging one another to align our lives with God's kingdom, with the reality of who He is. We're calling someone to remain faithful to Jesus in the midst of difficulty and strife. We're encouraging mothers, like we might do later today. That's a way we're going to exhort one another later, is to speak life into the mothers here. So it's intentionally speaking into someone's life, encouraging them to align their lives with God's kingdom, with the truth we see in Jesus' words and life and ministry. That's what it is. That's the content of the message. It's a word of exhortation, encouraging a brother or sister who's struggling or maybe is doing well. It might be speaking life in a way that's encouraging them to continue in the path that they're already on. If someone's found victory in some struggle, we can come alongside of them and encourage them by naming what we see in their lives. A couple examples from Scripture of what this exhortation might look like. Now, there's a couple in your notes there. A couple examples from Hebrews. Hebrews 3:12 says this: "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm till the end." When we see something in someone's life that's concerning, a word of exhortation, a firm but loving, and we'll talk about more of how this should be done, so don't like hop on me now. Just give me till the end and I'll explain the full spectrum of what we're talking about here. But if we see somebody walking in sin, Scripture tells us it's loving to actually say, "Hey, I see that in you, and it's concerning to me because I love you and I don't want to see you off the path." That's a word of exhortation. A little bit later in Hebrews 10:19-25, Paul ends in 25 by saying, "Let us not give up meeting together, encouraging and stirring one another on to love and good deeds." We encourage what we see good in another's life. We encourage the good works that we see in each other because of the day approaching. What is the source then of this word? So we've talked about what it is, what the message is, the content, what it might look like to speak it. The source of the word exhortation is the Holy Spirit, who is called Parakletos. He is the encourager or the counselor. Do you see the words there? They're the same. The root is the same. Where does encouragement, where does our ability to speak to one another come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor and the helper. Jesus calls him this multiple times in John 14, 15, and 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." That word helper, Parakletos, the encourager, the comforter. How do we encourage one another? We align our lives with the Holy Spirit. We hear his voice and we speak into somebody else's life. John 14, 16. John 15, 26. But when the Parakletos comes, whom I will send from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He is the Spirit of truth. Comes from the Holy Spirit, who prompts you, who opens your eyes to see something in someone's life. Hey, that thing that they're doing there, they're encouraging. That's an encouraging sign in their life. They're doing good things there. They're on a good path. I want to step into and encourage them to continue on in that. 1 Corinthians 14 says, "The one who prophesies speaks to the other for their encouragement." This word is all over the place in Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians, we see it in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 before the passage I just read. We see it: encourage and build one another up. It's Paul's repeated go-to when he's speaking or writing to a church. See to it that you are building one another up. And we do that primarily through speaking into one another's life. I want to take a little bit of time and work out through some of the practical applications. What does it actually take for this word of exhortation or encouragement to actually build up and strengthen the individual parts of the body? Because we can do it in a way that actually damages relationships as well. But there is a way. Scripture gives us this picture of a group of people who are committed to actively participating and speaking into each other's lives. See, the word of exhortation is simply a fruit of the relational investment you have put into one another. And I can see this in some of the men's, in the men's calling group that started with Steve and some of the other group on Saturday morning. Like there's fruit from that already. Much fruit from investing into the relationship. It gives us a platform, and I say that not as a social media platform, please don't hear me there, but it gives us as a basis to speak into someone else's life when we've invested time into that relationship. If we just speak from a more of a stranger, an outsider perspective, that word is probably not going to be received like it should. It's going to be much harder to receive that than if we've had that relationship built. So the culture where this happens is with a people who are desiring to be participating and active in each other's life. And I see it among many of you. And I encourage you, if you're not somehow investing in another's life, do that today. That's the whole reason we come together, is to build one another up. Even now, praying like, Lord, how can I, what do I witness? What am I aware of? What am I sensitive to in someone else's life that might bring them a sense of hope, or might increase joy, or might increase their strength or their capacity to handle a trial this morning? How can I pour into them this morning? So we're committed to being active participants. That's the whole word of fellowship, is a sharing of life together. It's a deep abiding with one another. Well, we are desiring to be a people who are increasingly growing in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We said if the Holy Spirit is the source of encouragement and exhortation, then our ability to hear the Spirit and our obedience to respond is paramount to our ability to encourage one another. We're listening to that voice inside of us that says, hey, I see this in there, and we go and speak into it. And someone comes and speaks into our life. We grow in sensitivity to hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. We are a people who are increasingly guided by love and truth and unwilling to compromise on either one. Scripture calls us, Ephesians 4:15, to speak the truth in love. There's this combination of truth and love that is often hard to find, easy to lose. But we are called to speak the truth in love. How we do it, how we do the speaking is important. And we desire to be a people who are increasingly growing in humility and receptivity to this sort of speaking. Do you want this sort of engagement from others in your life? Yes. Like I'm seriously asking, like, are you open to this sort of receptivity, this encouragement from others? We should be open and welcoming this, again, in the context of relationship, in the context of listening to the Spirit, in the context of speaking the truth in love. As we grow in humility, we are inviting other people to speak if they see something of warning or of encouragement in our lives. These are the things that are necessary, I think. And I'm open to feedback if you think there's something else that might encourage this sort of speaking. This isn't just an idea on a page. Like, this is something we've engaged in this morning already, and we want to continue to grow in this ability to speak into someone else's life for the building up of the body. We do this because Jesus is coming back, and he's worthy of a bride that's ready and prepared. I'm not saying we'll ever be perfect, but we're here to build each other up in order for when he returns, we're a bride ready for him. Different groups, different smaller groups to be involved in here. And if you're not involved in, we might just give you a word of encouragement to consider being in some sort of small group. Even if it's not necessarily connected to the church, there's so much value in meeting in smaller groups to encourage one another. Well, I'd just like to take a little bit of time and put this into practice. We have an opportunity on Mother's Day today to speak encouragement into mothers, whether birth mothers, spiritual mothers. We have the opportunity to speak life into those who've poured out into so many of our lives. If you were a mother, you should have received one of these blue papers that says Honoring Mothers on the very top. I just want to take a minute to read this, and then I'm going to ask, this might make you feel uncomfortable, I'm going to ask some of the mothers or mothers-to-be or spiritual mothers, whoever feels like they're open to prayer, to stand, and then we're just going to gather around some of you and spend some time praying for you. That's where we're going in our last 5 minutes, 10 minutes here or so. But I want to take a minute and read this Honoring Mothers. Today we honor the sacrificial love of God that is reflected in the heart and lives of a mother. I can think of few other places where we can witness the sacrificial, selfless love of Jesus. Few other places that demonstrate it like the work and life of a mother. It is a constant sacrificing of yourself. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says he was like a nursing mother to the early church. He was so affectionately desirous of them that he gave of himself. It wasn't just a part of himself. He gave his entire self. And that's what we find in God. That's what God has done for us. He's given not just a part. He's given us his entire self through the Holy Spirit, which now dwells in us. So I just want to read a few lines here. Speaking to mothers, your voice calms me in ways I don't always understand. Your hand holds me when it feels like I am in the sinking sand. Your heart cherishes me even in times when I've deeply hurt you. Your mind imparts wisdom in ways I only now see to be true. Your feet guide my steps, charting a course that no longer feels new. Your life you give, and you do it again, and that's the heart of God in a mother. Well, church, I think we can honor the mothers in the room by just taking a few minutes and praying specifically for them. I'm just going to invite you to stand. If you're a mother, spiritual mother, you're pouring into someone's life, or you're a mother who's had biological or adopted children of that kind, we invite you to stand where you are. And the rest of us, the men, the husbands, the sons, the daughters, are just going to gather around you and pray. I invite you to stand if you feel like you would be open to that sort of prayer. And I invite you, guys, everyone else, just gather around someone who's standing. And we're just going to take a couple minutes and pray for them. And you can just begin praying. There's no script. Just find someone who's standing and spend some time praying for them. Gather around. Make sure there's nobody, no woman, mother standing who doesn't have somebody praying for them. Father, we lift up all mothers to you for how they selflessly, not perfectly, but selflessly give of themselves to our families, to our children, to us as husbands, in the care of our house. And Father, we pray you would impart strength to them, God, that you would impart perseverance, that they would experience joy in the moments of hardship that they experience, in the daily grind of caring for children when it's so needy. God, you are not ignorant of the reality of how difficult mothering can be. You are very much aware because you, in many ways, mother and care for us as people who constantly wander and constantly struggle. So we recognize the heart of God in the love of a mother. And we pray, we impart wisdom and courage and patience and much grace into these lives that you have blessed us beyond measure with. Father, we thank you for the picture and gift of a mother today. And we honor them today. We honor the picture of Jesus that we see in their care. It's in your precious name, Jesus, that we ask and lift up all of these things to you. Amen.